Good evening. Welcome to revival. Welcome to God's house. How many of you are ready to worship the Lord tonight? How many are excited about what God's going to do tonight? Then you're not going to be upset if I say we're not going to worship right now, will you be? I'm going to teach first, and then you're going to worship, all right? So, you know, it doesn't matter when you worship, does it? But you have to be taught something tonight because of what God wants to place within you. And so I'm going to teach first. I want to welcome all the visitors out. We're having a great time with the Lord. He's moving just like he said he would. Whatever you expect, that's what you're going to receive. All right? Can y'all hear me? I can't hear myself. All right. I want you to get your expectors out. I want you to expect God to move. This is a, what does it say we are? God said it was a great miracle service. So God wants to perform great miracles. He didn't name it, you know, their name come from, all that came from God. He said he's a great miracle service. The Holy Spirit will dance and sing. And he said he wants us to rejoice. So I said, God, we need the miracles now. And he said, I'm a miracle working God. If they expect a miracle, they're going to get a miracle. If they can have faith for a miracle, they'll receive a miracle. So tonight, I'm just going to teach you about the God of impossibilities. And then after we learn about the God of impossibilities, then we're going to praise and worship, and then we're going to believe God to do the impossible in our life. All right? Now, what's going to happen here is some people are going to come in and thinking we're halfway through praise and worship, and they're going to miss half the sermon. This has happened before. And they'll just have to buy the CD. But you all can just lead them, you know, let them know, hey, but now we're going to really praise and worship. Well, Father, I just thank you tonight, and I give you all praise, honor, and glory for all that you're doing and all that you have done thus far. And I thank you for the holy angels that you told me were here in our midst. I thank you for your Holy Spirit anointing, leading, guiding, and directing. I thank you for these precious souls who have come out to sit at your table, be fed fresh manna from heaven. And Father God, I just thank you for the precious people who trust you and believe in you. And they just want all of you, or they wouldn't be sitting here tonight, Father. And Father, we thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I think what I'll do next is release the children. No, they're all looking at me with big eyes like, what are you going to do with us? So I'm going to release the children. That means the nursery lady too. Go on, Gabriel. And as the other people come in, we'll release them too. Up to you. You know what's going through her mind? Well, how am I going to sing? Well, we'll have to relieve her, won't we? I don't know about you, but I'm already ready to receive. God's already in the house. We really don't have to praise him down. He's already in the house. Now he just wants to deliver his glory to you people. Matthew 19:26 says, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. What prompted Jesus to say such a thing? The answer is that he wanted to show us all that we think can't be done is no challenge at all to God. Read that again. What prompted Jesus to say such a thing? Well, what did he say? But with God all things are possible. The answer is that he wanted to show us what we think can't be done is no challenge at all to God, for God can do anything and he will make a way where there is no way. We are in that dispensation once again. We were there for years and years, for about 25 years. And then God pulled the plug on the anointing on this moving of the Spirit because the church was starting to mock the Holy Spirit, and he wasn't going to have that. But now he's bringing back his glory, he's bringing back his anointing, and now you can believe for all things are possible. They always were possible. But God just was not moving in the miracles the way he always had been. All right? Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said to him, if you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If. That's only a two-letter word, but that's a very big word, saints. If you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. When there looks like there is no way out, God will step in and do the impossible. He is the God of the impossibilities. If you're following God with all your heart, body, soul, spirit, and mind, if you're obeying God in every area that he's calling you into obedience, there isn't anything that God will withhold from his children. Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I'm saying it because I want you to get that in your spirit. You can't be out here, you know, half in and half out and expect God to give you all things, because he won't do that. He has given to his children, his true children, all things at this given time. When there looks like there is no way out, God will step in and do the impossible. He is a God of the impossibilities. I want you to keep that in your spirit all night long. Romans 4:19-21 says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's, we're talking about Abraham, by the way, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. God had just told Abraham that they were going to have a child. And what did it say? He's 100 years old. Now, you would laugh at God too, wouldn't you? But Abraham didn't. Sarah did, but Abraham did not. Abraham believed God. You know, everybody around about you does not have to believe for you to get your miracle. You have to believe. You have to be living the life. You have to be obedient to God. Not everybody around about you. Are you listening? If God says he will do something for you, he will do it. Come on, didn't he say that this is a dispensation right now, that all the prophetic words we've been getting for 10 years, he's now going to bring to pass? Do you believe that? You're going to have to believe it to receive it. He always keeps his promises, but there are some things that you have to do in order to receive from God. Mark 9:23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Get that in your spirit tonight. I want to really just keep, let that thing go over and over and over in your spirit. If you believe, you will receive. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, you just can't receive Christ because somebody tells you to. You have to receive Christ because maybe you really don't know for sure that he's real, but you believe that somewhere up there he is and he does exist. And so then you, by faith, you receive him into your heart. All we need is faith. This is a faith walk, total faith walk. And all we need is faith. And if we have faith, God will do everything that he said he's going to do. Matthew 17:20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. They couldn't do something, so God, they said, why couldn't we do that? And he said, because of your unbelief. And a lot of times, you know, we don't receive from God because unknowingly we have unbelief somewhere in our spirit. And whenever we get that thing right and we start trusting God once again, then we're going to receive what God has for us. Luke 18:27, but he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said it. Paul didn't say it. Jesus said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. I can't heal myself, but God can. You know, I can't get you delivered, but God can. This is what I'm saying. What we can't do, God can do. And God wants to do that now. Not next year, not next month. He wants to do it now. He wants to start giving you everything that you can believe for. God can do the impossible. Yes, that's exactly what that scripture just told us. He can do the impossible because where we can't, God can. With our own abilities, we are unable, but with God, we are able to do anything. See, this is where you have to have no pride. Pride will make you think, I can do this. And even if God does do something, you'll say, well, look what I did. That's all pride. And, you know, you're showing yourself in front of people, and you'll say, look who I am. That's pride. I'm sorry, but you're absolutely nothing without God. You are nothing without God. So why do we keep promoting ourselves? Somebody said, we need to get more advertisement out. That's all right. And so God said to me, why? He said, I told you I would send them in. You don't need to go out and spend money on radios and everything else to get the advertised. I said, I would send them in. And he's always, from the time we started, he's always sent them in. So see, with what we couldn't do, God can do. And if we stick our hands in the mix, then God said, okay, you can do this thing. I'll take my hands out of it. And you go ahead and see how many people you can get in. Are you listening here, guys? This works with every area of your life. So we're talking about the same God who created life from a desolate planet, who at the wave of Moses' hands parted the Red Sea and produced dry land, who raised an army from a valley of dry bones, and who destroyed Satan's greatest weapon, death, with his resurrected son. I'll tell you what we all need to do. We all need to go back to the roots. When you were first born again, and you picked up your word and you believed everything it said, and then you went out and you did it. You just had faith that you just knew that you knew that you knew because it was in the word, and if you went out and did it, God did it. It happened. And that's why we worked and walked in, what, 25 years of revival, because I just knew that no matter what I did, that God was going to complete. Because God said to me one time, daughter, whatever you place your hand to do, I will do it. In other words, if you come up here and say, I need healing, I place my hand on you and I say, in the name of Jesus, you're healed. God's going to heal you. My hand isn't going to heal you, but my faith in God is going to heal you. It's God's anointing that goes through you. That's why I tell you when I call you up to the altar, it is not me that's laying hands on you. It is God. It's the Holy Spirit that's going through you. And I tell you, you have to have faith, close your eyes and raise your arms and believe, and then just receive. And until you can get this mind to quit working, you're not going to receive because you're trying to figure out how this is all going to work out. You can't figure out God, so don't even try, all right? So tonight when we do praise and worship, don't try to figure out what God's going to do during praise and worship. Just praise and worship and just let God do what he wants to do, all right? If he can do those things, what we just read, and he did, imagine what he can do with a life that trusts him completely. Why could I raise the dead? Because the word of God said it could. Why could I pray for people and cancers were dropped off their body? Because God's word said I could. You understand what I'm saying? You know, I just believe God's word. Then I started believing man. Don't ever believe man. Always believe God. See, man said, oh, you can't do those things. You know, we started deliverance. Oh, you can't. That ain't even in words. You can't do deliverance. Well, yeah, it is. And we still do all those things, but yet I allowed man to sway me to a certain point. Now, I'm telling you this so that you don't do this. You do what the Word of God tells you to do, and don't let man stop you. See, God's saying to tell you that you were born for such a time as this. You're born for this second coming of, preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. When God had me start the church, he said, you are the second John the Baptist. You are forerunners. You're second John the Baptist preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. So this is what you all are. You are forerunners and you're preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Read your word. It's all in the word. And we're not telling you something that's not there. And so what's going to happen? God's going to use you to do great signs. The Word of God says that we're going to do the same works Jesus did, and greater works. So you're supposed to be doing the same works that Jesus did. Open up your Bible and see all the look under miracles and see all the miracles that Jesus did. You're supposed to do all those things. Come on. And then we're supposed to even do greater things. I don't know what the greater things are. You know, I'm not going to say, well, because we have airplanes, we can fly further. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say God's going to use us to do greater things. He even said, this dispensation, he's going to take us to heaven, give us the secrets of heaven. He's going to open up our eyes so we can see into the spirit realm. And we're going to, whenever we read the word, we're going to be able to read the word and see things in the word we never saw before. How many of you have been reading your Bible, I'll say, for 50 years, and all of a sudden you pick it up and you read a scripture and say, I didn't know it said that. You know, this is God. He's revealing the secrets that were hidden. He's bringing it out so you know what it's really saying. This is the God that I serve, the God of the impossibilities. Amen. Some of you shouldn't even be sitting here today. You should be dead. But because God had a destiny for you to fulfill, he didn't allow you to die. Or if you died, like I did three times, he resurrected you again. You know, come on. Because he wasn't finished with me yet. When he's finished with me, you'll stay up there. But in the meantime, we have a work to do for the Lord. And, you know, God said he doesn't care if you're young, old, in between what you are. He's going to use you in this dispensation. You know, the old gray-haired people, we're going to be there for the younger people and smack them when they get out of line, you know, and say, look, I've been in this longer than you have, whippersnapper, and I'm telling you that you're not doing right. That's what God's been saying. So don't think that you're over the hill because you're not. You know, some of you haven't even begun, your older people, you haven't even begun your ministry yet. And God's trying to get you prepared. He's putting you in places where you can hear the word that you are going to be used. He's trying to get you ready to use you. You're not going to sit by and watch everybody else do the signs, wonders, and miracles. Everybody's going to do it. Read Joel. And God told me we were in Joel now, living in a time of Joel. So read Joel, and everybody's going to do it. See, but you have to believe this. And you don't have to believe me. It's all in your word. Get in your word and find out. Go to Joel and see what's going to happen in the end times. You know, and just get into your word and believe everything you read because it's all truth. The word is not mixed. It's all truth. You'll find pastors who will mix the word. You know, I used to go to churches before I had my own church. Well, this is God's church, not mine. He forced me to be the leader. I used to go to churches though, where I'd sit there and I'd think, they're not even preaching the truth. They twist that scripture like crazy. You know, and sometimes I think we pull things out of the word to suit what we're teaching, and really it's not even right to do that because it's out of context. Amen? Come on. I lost my place. Matthew 17:20. Jesus said, with faith the size of a mustard seed, you know, all know how big a mustard seed is, right? You can move mountains with faith. I'm sorry, but our faith isn't what it should be. Our faith is not grown where we can move a mountain yet. We should be able to. And God's been telling us, work on your faith because you're going to need it. And you're going to need faith, you know, not your intellect, but faith to do the great and mighty works that God's calling us forth to do. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me the strength. He didn't say some things, all, A-L-L things. He didn't say you can just go out there and lay hands on somebody that can't see and they'll see the sight, but you can't do anything else. He said all things we can do through Christ Jesus. You can raise the dead through Christ Jesus. You know, you can speak in a new home. Through Christ Jesus. If he wants you to have a new home and he told you he did, then you can speak that home in because that's what he said. He said, I want you to have a new home. All right? All things, but Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. All things, anything, everything with the power of God. All things, everything with the power of God. You have to always include Jesus Christ of Nazareth in everything that you do. There's nothing you can do on your own. The minute you try, you're going to fail. You're going to fall. When God promised Abraham that Sarah would give birth to a son, Abraham had to ignore his natural circumstances, have faith in God's promise, and believe that God was powerful enough to do what he said he would do. See, when God asks us to do something, we're like Moses. Well, I stutter. You know, well, I have 10 kids. Or you know, we may make all kind of excuses. Abraham didn't do that. God said it, and he believed it. Are you listening here tonight? Romans 4:19 through 22 tell the steps that Abraham followed to receive the impossible promise God made to him. Verse 19, and not being weak in faith, see, he wasn't even weak in faith. He had his faith built up. He did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. You know, I think if you was 100 years old, you'd have really good faith, wouldn't you? Doesn't your faith grow more and more and more every day? You know, doesn't it? It should be if it isn't. So by the time you're 100, you should be a faith mountain. You should be able to believe for anything to happen. But you know what? We have to believe for it right now today. Not 100 years from now. Right now today. That God is able to do all things. Verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving God the glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Verse 21, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. If God gives you a promise, he's able to keep that promise. He's able to do it. We don't have because we don't believe. We are a bunch of doubting Thomases. And God wants that to stop. Tonight, he wants you to totally and completely to believe everything. That he can do everything he's promised you. He wants you to get to the point tonight where you'll be able to receive from God because you'll be able to believe that he's able to do it. This passage of scripture makes one thing clear. If we're going to receive from God, we're going to have to do the same thing Abraham did. Number one, consider not. Number two, stagger not. Number three, give glory to God. And number four, and be fully persuaded. God told Kenneth Copeland whenever he was had his, you know, first started his ministry, he was sitting in a restaurant and God, he had no money whatsoever. And God said, I want you to get on TV. He said, God, I can't get on TV. So he called Kenneth Hagin and told Kenneth Hagin, God told me to get on TV. He said, well, what are you waiting on? I don't have no money. Get on it anyhow. God will supply. And he went, got on TV with no money, but God paid every bill. He's paid every bill since he's been on TV. It's very, very expensive to be on TV. At that time, he was only on one station. I forgot how many stations he has now. But see, if he would have looked at his circumstances, what's his circumstances? No money. He wouldn't be on TV today because the enemy would have used that in his whole entire ministry. Every time he had to do something that pertained to money, he'd say, well, I don't have the money. And how many of you are so used to saying, well, I just don't have the money to do that right now. And God said, never say that. He told me, he said, I don't want you to ever say that again. You have more than enough. So I keep saying I have more than enough. And you know what? I don't see the more than enough, but it appears and I'm able to do what I have to do. Because I don't say anymore, I don't have the monies to do that. All right? Abraham's faith was not weak. The word weak means to be feeble, to be diseased, impotent, sick, and so on. A lot of people have diseased faith. Abraham's faith was not sick, but it was well. You know, you guys, you know, I don't think there's anybody in here that really has just gotten born again that hasn't already delved into a whole bunch of junk. I mean, you know, doctrines. So, you know, but when I was born again, I hadn't delved into nothing. And when I right away, everybody wants to go away to Bible school, you know. And somebody was even had the money all up for me to go, and God said, I don't want you to go. I don't want you indoctrinated with man's theology. I want my Holy Spirit to teach you. So everything I know through the Holy Spirit. Everything I do, I am Spirit-led. I only do what God tells me to do, nothing more, nothing less. You see, if you're obedient to God, God will keep you. If you're not obedient, you have to be obedient to God in everything He asks you to do, everything. If you're not obedient to God in every area of your life, then God doesn't have to bless you. I know what I'm saying. He does not have to bless you. Tonight, God wants to prove Himself to you. He wants to prove Himself to you tonight. Are you really ready to receive whatever it is God wants to do and give you tonight? You know, God said to me, I said, all right, God, can I use last night's sermon I didn't use? He said, no. He said, I want to teach him about the God of impossibilities, and I want you to teach before you sing. I said, all righty, that won't go over too good, but I'll do that. You know, we read all these things about people having gold dust on them. I've never seen gold dust. You say, well, you don't have enough faith for it. That's why you don't have it. That's why you don't see it. We read all these people going chariot rides. Reason why you don't go on a chariot ride is because you don't have enough faith to believe in it. You know, if your mindset is like if your mindset is like mine, I say, well, God, it'd be nice if you put the chariots in the church tonight. And I'm, yeah, but that isn't really faith. I'm not having faith. It'd just be nice if He did that. I believe, Father God, that tonight you're going to put chariots in the church and they're going to take the people on chariot ride. That's faith. Yes. Amen. Yes. Now, I don't care if God brings chariots. I don't care if He brings gold dust. I don't care if He brings feathers. I don't care what He does, as long as He does. We have faith tonight to believe that God can do anything He wants to do in our lives, do we not? Now, if you are come in here sick and you leave sick, because God said He wanted to do miracles tonight. This isn't my idea. This is His idea. And God's ideas are good ideas, right? All right, then He said, this, everything I said is what He told me to write down. We need to find the real tonight where nothing is impossible. We need to find the real God tonight where we know that we know that we know that nothing, absolutely nothing, is impossible with God. That he can calm any storm. He can fill us so full of Himself that we just lay out in the Spirit all night. You know, or he just drop gold dust from heaven if He feels like it. Whatever He wants to do, He can heal us from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. It is our faith that He's working on tonight. Now, how big is your faith? Don't come to me with your stupid doctrines. I don't care. I really don't care to hear about them. You know, you go argue with somebody else about doctrine. I'm not going to. I know God's word. I know God's voice. I've been at this a long time. And I've seen God work miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. If you believe. If you believe. One time when I was on the road evangelizing, God said to me, I want you to lay out before me. Well, we always lay out before God, so I laid out before Him. And then I got up to minister, and God just moved. He always moved mightily when I was out evangelizing. But the next night, because they extended the meetings, and so the next night, the pastor got up, and she said, well, people, her laying out the Spirit is biblical. And then what she told me was, we was all wondering, why in the world were you laying on the floor during praise and worship? It was because God told me to. But then, see, He wanted to open their eyes to the fact that you do lay out before the Lord. And because I was obedient, it didn't matter to me. I'm used to doing that. It didn't matter. I was obedient. Then their eyes were open. She researched it in the Word and found out, hey, that's biblical. Now, I was in another church one time up there in Pennsylvania. I was evangelizing, and I don't like to sit in the front row because, you know, I just don't like that. I'm not the one that's being honored. God's being honored. And so my husband and I used to sit in the back row. And so I was in the back row, and we stand up praising and worshiping God. So I want you to turn around and face the wall. So I turned around and faced the wall the whole time we was doing praise and worship. So before the pastor even let me speak, he said, I want to know why you turned your back on the congregation and faced the wall. I said, God told me to. Well, what were you doing? I said, I don't know. I was just doing what I was supposed to do. You know? And what did God do that night? He did great signs and wonders, didn't he? And he was showing that pastor, get rid of your pride. Quit questioning what God's doing. Just receive him for who he is. He's a spirit-filled God. So, you know, God might ask you to do a lot of weird things. I never thought anything of when he told me that. I didn't think anything of it. I thought, well, okay, you want me to turn around and face him? Well, I don't care. I'll do that. So, you know, this is what I've said. Sometimes you let man dictate what you're supposed to do. And you can't do that. One time at the same pastor, I was in his church, and he was a little bit upset with me still. But he invited me back, you know. And so he was up there, and he was more or less running me down. And I didn't bother me any. So then he let me get up and minister. And at the end of ministering, then God turned on him. God told him about his prideful self. Then he got up and he apologized to me. You know, don't do things like that to God. You know, he had no right to run me down. I wasn't doing anything wrong. But God told him if he would just walk in the Spirit instead of in his flesh and be prideful, God could work through him too. So all you in here tonight, if God tells you to face the wall during praise and worship. If he tells you to lay on the floor, lay on the floor. I don't want you doing no somersaults in here. No, that's not God. I don't want you laying your back kicking the wall either. That's not God. All kind of things will manifest himself when God's, the devil's like to manifest himself when God's around. So, are you ready? Do you have it down in your spirit that if you believe, you will receive? There's some of you in here, you have such a bad religious mindset, you need to give that to God right now. I'm going to tell you something. I invited you all, and I invited the Holy Spirit and God. I did not invite the devil. And if he wrote in one of your shirt tails, I'm telling him right now, get out in the name of Jesus. We're not here to entertain the devil. We're not here to worship the devil. See, God told me to say this night, so that's why I'm saying I about forgot to put it in my remembrance. And he said, some people are bringing the devil on their shirt tail. Tell him to get out. Come on. So if you brought the devil in, he's leaving you high and dry. He's going out into the dry places because we're here to worship the Lord. Where's my praise and worship team? Now, I don't know what we're going to do about the other praise and worshiper because I'm looking around. I don't see anybody sitting up there. Not even Catherine's boys, are they? No. She's going to miss out. That's God testing her pride. I'm excited. Stand on your feet. And if I'm excited, you have to be excited too. No, you really don't. Because I'm excited in my spirit man. And the only way you can get excited is if it's coming from your spirit man. See, I don't know about you, but I live every day expecting God to perform something greater than he performed the night day before. I really do. Because sometimes the day before stinks, doesn't it?
Yes.
What he did the day before was not up to par. So you want something better the next day. So we want something better tonight than we had last night, right?
Yes. Yes.
What he did last night did not stink. I didn't say that now. I just said we want more of God tonight. So let's go ahead and praise him from the very depth of our being tonight.